Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen, amen. See, let's have a word of prayer. Pray for yourself as well as pray along with me while I pray for myself and you too. For me, our Father in heaven, for me, God, let no one or anything interrupt the Feed My Sheep show unless it is you or your Son. Help my mind stay focused on you, God, when I'm doing this program or all religious programs. Thank you. Father God, we sheep come to you with thanksgiving in our heart and mind. We thank you for protecting us from natural disasters right here in Detroit, Michigan, and everywhere where our families are located. Father God, we pray that our flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, as mentioned or stated in Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. Father God, we thank you for giving us good health, wealth, peace, happiness, joy, prosperity, and all things. We pray this prayer in your son's name. Amen. Welcome, sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep show. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess. Now, you know to have your notepad, pen or pencil, your New King James Version of the Bible, a cool glass of water, even though it's getting kind of cold outside. You might want to have a warm glass of water. See, we are reading from the New Testament book of James. So turn your Bibles to the book of James, and we're going to get started reading. And I pray that God will allow me to read chapters 1 and 2 without any interruptions, as well as allow me to say the things that he wants said. Let's start reading. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So what is faith? Faith is something that you strongly believe in, or your strong belief in God. Well, what is patience? That's waiting, calmly waiting. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally. And liberally means it, he gives it to you freely. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to understand or to learn. It's also common sense. But I certainly tell a lot of people, or I have told some people in my life, what makes common sense to you does not make common sense to me at all. I would do it this way while you would do it that way. But nonetheless, that's what wisdom is. It's the ability to learn, understand, and use of your common sense. Verse 6. Oh, let me finish reading verse 5. As a matter of fact, let me read verse 5 over. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Well, what is reproach? Reproach is blame, shame, or disgrace. He gives it to you without those things. He reproaches, he gives to you without blame, shame, or disgrace. And it will be given to you. Just ask God for wisdom, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith. Again, faith is something that you believe in strongly, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So don't suppose you're going to receive anything from God. You know it. Your faith is strong in God. You know you're going to receive this. So don't lie. Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So do not suppose. You declare your faith in God, so believe it. It's going to happen. You just wait patiently. Verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in exaltation. That's high praise, okay? But the rich in his humiliation, oh, his pride or his dignity, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. But no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. That means to die. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits, whatever he's chasing. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Oh, wow. So what is endures? That means that you suffer while you're waiting for something. You're enduring it. You're waiting. And what is temptation? Temptation is something that you're drawn into that may be evil. You're doing something that's not right. Let's pick up reading. For when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot tempt, cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Entice means hope is arousing hope. You see something that you like and you just want to get that. You might want to buy that dress when you know this is your bill money, your food money. So you have to just turn away from that temptation and go buy your food. That's just an example of being enticed. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived. Deceived means something that is untrue. My brother, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And the Father of lights, that is the Almighty God. That refers to the Almighty God. I got that off the computer because I didn't know what the Father of lights meant. But I looked it up, I Googled it, and that's what I got. Let me start over verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So whatever God gives you, it's going to be right. There will be no slightly different change. There is no variation in it. Whatever God says, that's what it's going to be. And it will happen. Verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath means to become angry or enraged. You know, if someone says something to you and it just kicks you off and you fly off a handle, just be calm. Be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that is so true. So sometimes when you get angry, you want to fight somebody. And sometimes if you if you do fight, you might be whooping that person's butt. And then that person gets so angry, they're going to get a weapon that will kill. And they may come back and try to kill you. So the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. So we understand that, okay? Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the calmness, the gentleness, the patience, that is meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, you know that Satan is fighting for your soul. We bow to God. Satan wants us to bow to him. But Satan wants to bow to us, and that's why he is mad. Let's just remember and be careful of what we do and what we say. Even I will get tested. And this is what chapter 1 and chapter 2 talks about, being tested. What was the first, the beginning of chapter 1, the first, second sentence, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So we all are going to be tested. Let's pick up at verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and liberty, that's freedom, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so I'm saying that the perfect law, those are the Ten Commandments. That's just my view. Let's pick up in verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and what does religious mean? What is religious? Religious is your belief in or worship in a deity, and I believe in God. So let's pick up reading that again, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle, that's control, his tongue, but deceives his own heart. And what does deceive mean? That means something that is untrue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Verse 27. The pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let's read chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord of glory with partiality. Partiality means favoritism. For if there should come into your assembly, your synagogue, your church, your mosque, temple, that is your assembly, a man with gold rings and fine apparel as clothing, and there should also come in a poor man and filthy clothes. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you sit there or sit at my footstool. You have, it says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brethren. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? So, what is an heir? An heir is a person who inherits another's estate. So, we are going to inherit God's kingdom. Let's pick a reading at chapter 2, verse 5 again. It says, listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the, let me read this again, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you? And that's true. God knows that's true. They are oppressing us in Detroit right now by trying to take our assets. And it appears that no one can stop them. Oh, God, let me stay focused on this book. Let me start again. In verse 6. But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are spoken of? And you know, blasphemy is to say something that is not good or nice about God. You know, you're denouncing God. You're saying something that's not good. Let's pick up at verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. And of course, you know the royal laws are the Ten Commandments. But if you show partiality, your favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted. Well, what's convicted? To feel guilty of a crime or feel guilty of what you thought by the law. You convicted, let's pick up verse 9 again. It says, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. That means you violated the law. Violated the law for whomever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And let me just say right here what I'm thinking. All churches that are open on Sunday are transgressors of the law. You're not in obedience of the fourth commandment, which is to keep, let's see, where's my book? My other Bible. You're supposed to keep the Sabbath holy, not Sunday. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what you're doing right now, you pastors ought to feel convicted in your hearts because you know you're transgressing the law. And some of your members who are there praising God in earnest may not know that they're supposed to keep Saturday holy. But you know, and you're breaking the law. You're not blind. You're willfully leading the blind into transgression. Don't do that. Have guts enough to change. You know, we are to follow Christ. Let me just read to you what I found in the book of 1 Peter. And it was shocking to me. It was 1 Peter chapter 7. What was it? Chapter 4, verse 17. Let me find 1 Peter. I'm looking at James. But this is important to me. And I ask God to let me say what it is that he will have me to say. Oh, here it is. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? So, you shepherds, get your house in order." James is telling you this, and you've been at this much longer than I have. Let's pick up reading at verse 10. Father, let me at least finish reading to verse 13. It says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not commit murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." And liberty means freedom. "But judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Show mercy to your people in church on Sunday and start having services on Saturday. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I have finished reading up to James chapter 2, verse 13. And we'll pick up at verse 14 next time. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we say thank you for everything that you do for us, especially your constant protection from the evil ones who will show up at your seen in your life. Thank you for protecting us from temptation and delivering us from all evil. Sheep, in Jesus' name I pray, sheep, remember to take God along with you everywhere you go. And if it is God's will, I will be with you next time. Amen.
Heart, 'cause Jesus. let you down. And I know He lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our heart. The Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He's mine. Deep down in my soul.